Thank you to Brian and his family for sponsoring this morning's shiur. It's always a wonderful opportunity to be part of a simcha, even from a few miles away. So, miles up to you. Thank you once again to Seth and his family for bringing me here and hosting. Shkach to the Rav, what a beautiful beautiful job here to be having not just a kehillah, but that mamash hakolot of people sitting and learning. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing. It always gives me chizuk. I know that many people are learning Maseches Gittin for Daf Yomi, so I figured we would give a shiur that the sugya appears has a little bit of Maseches Gittin. Those who are not learning Maseches Gittin don't feel so bad, because even those who are learning haven't yet seen the sugya yet, because it's too far ahead of where you're up to, so everybody will be in the dark, hopefully not in the dark, but hopefully we'll try to illuminate a little bit about this particular sugya. It's a fairly short sugya that appears in Maseches Gittin, Daf Chof Amud Aleph. But it touches not only on Maseches Gittin, it touches on many, many other sugyas, both in terms of Lamedus and in terms of Lamaisa. So we'll try to use it a little bit to discuss whatever we want to talk about anyway. So we'll just plug it into Maseches Gittin and Daf Chof Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that Shalcha Mitam Kosvay Al Yisur Hanoah Kosher, that if a get is written on something which is Asav Hanoah, so for some strange reason the person started to write a get on an apple of Orla, or on a cheeseburger, or whatever other strange piece of davar asav hanoah he chose. So the din is, shalcha l'isur hanoah is kosher. So the get would be acceptable. What's the chiddush of this? So the context that Gemara has it in is that even though it's not worth all that much, it doesn't matter, because when you write a shtar, so the paper of the shtar doesn't have to be worth anything. It can even be less than a shabbat pruta. So kosher l'isur hanoah is going to be kosher. But there is a big problem about this halacha. How can you write a get on something which is asav hanoah in light of a Gemara that appears in the fourth parak of Maseches Bava Kamma? The Gemara is discussing about if you have an animal that gored somebody, that killed somebody. So now the halacha says that you have to kill this animal. So the din is that once it's nigmar dino, once the Beis Din paskins that the shor is a shor haniskol, even though you didn't get around to actually killing it, so according to most of the Rishonim, it's already nesa b'hanoah. The Bina Tam is a different approach to the sugya, but most of the Rishonim assume that once it's a gemar din, once the Beis Din paskins that it's also b'hanoah, so that's it, finish, it's already, it's omidli sokel, it's already also b'hanoah. So the Gemara quotes a braisa that says that at that point, machor eino machor, what if the owner would go ahead and try to sell that animal at the point when it's already also b'hanoah? So the mechira wouldn't be valid. So what do you see from this Gemara? That there's no way to transfer ownership on a davar also b'hanoah. So comes the Ktsois and raises a question in Maseches Gittin on the Chof, how could it be that Kosvo Ali Suri Hanoah's Kosher? How could you give a get on something which is prohibited to derive Hanoah from? Typically, the Torah says, "V'nosan v'yoda," you have to give it to, you have to presumably transfer ownership of the get to the woman. How could that be? The Gemara of a comment up Mem Hei says that Machor Eino Machor. So that's the basic question, at least the first of the questions we're going to try to deal with this morning. How could it be that a get on a davar asav hanoah is acceptable? How in the world can you transfer a shus on something if it's in fact asav hanoah? So let's backtrack for a minute and go back to that Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma and understand exactly what is the problem of Bava Kamma. Why is it conceptually that you cannot transfer ownership on a davar asav hanoah? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Basic fundamental hakira, what is the chizon? What is the starting point of the sugya? Why can't I give you something that's asav hanoah? So one can understand this in one of two possibilities. Either one can understand that the reason why I can't transfer ownership on it is simply because I don't own it. That there's no bailus on a davar asav hanoah. The Torah declares that once something is not usable, so by definition, I can't own it anymore. It doesn't belong to me. So it's obvious, if I don't own the car, then I can't sell you the car. So maybe that's what the Gemara is saying, that the reason why machar ain't a machar, the reason why you can't sell a shor haniskol, is lamaisi, you don't own it anymore. So chisaron, in the very essence of bialos, is not called lachem. Well, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the reason why I can't sell a davar asav hanoah is not because I don't own it. Why should I not own it? I bought it. It's mine. It's asav hanoah. Okay. So in Aruch Chaim in your day, I can't use it. But why should that affect Cheshev Mishpat? Why isn't that considered to be mine anymore? So maybe the halacha is as follows. Really, it is considered to be yours. It belongs to you. But perhaps it falls into a new category of halacha that's called Shaloi Ve'eno Bishusai. The Gemara in Bava Kamma in the seventh parak has a whole sugya about the following shaila. What if you own something where it's technically yours, it's 100% yours, but you don't have access to it right now? Why don't you have access to it right now? Because somebody stole it from you. So let's say I own a car, somebody stole my car, so I have no idea where the car is, it's sitting in somebody else's rishus. but I still own it. It's still Shali. So comes the Gemara and says that what if at that point I would decide to be machdish the car? I would decide to declare that the car is hektish. Can I do that or not? So on the one hand, it's shalo, it still belongs to me. On the other hand, it's eino b'shusai, and it's not accessible to me. It's not in my rishus anymore. So comes the Gemara, actually, it's a machlekes ha-tanoim, machlekes ha-marim, but we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Gezel v'l'nasiyah sh'abayelem eino yochel ha-hakdish. If something was stolen from me, even though I haven't yet given up hope, it's still 100% mine, it's still shali, but I still cannot be machdish it because it falls into the category of what's called shaloi ve'eino b'shuso. So there is a concept in Dinim Hamanis that I can own something, but afa pichein, I cannot express that ownership, I cannot transfer rights to that ownership if it's eino b'shuso. So comes a concise and suggests that maybe the reason why a dover ha'osar b'hanah cannot be transferred is not because it's a chisaron in bailus. Maybe it's a chisaron in rishusai. Maybe it's called shalom, but it's shalom ve'ena b'shuso. Now, either way you go is not yet going to solve our problem. It's not going to answer as to why a get is going to be kosher. But we have a long way to go. We still have to understand what the nature of this halacha is, that the starting point is I can't transfer ownership on Isuri HaNoah. So is it a problem because it's eno shaloi, it doesn't belong to me? Well, no, it is shali, but it's considered to be the eno b'shusi.
The Gemara says a few places eno shalo. Chometz v'pesach.
The Gemara never says eno shalo. The Gemara says eno b'shusa. So the question is, does the Gemara there mean?
Esrik Shalorlo also says.
Gemara, we're going to talk about every one of these cases. So we've got a long way to go. Okay. So again, so we have two different possibilities. We know that the gittin is a problem. That's our dilemma. We have to eventually come back to gittin daf chaf. How a get can be given a davar asa b'noah. But before we get anywhere near that, we have to learn the sugya of bailus and rishus and mechira and hakdesh on a davar ha'asa b'noah. So we know that the starting point is I can't. Macher in a macher b'shur nisko. We're not sure whether it's a chisaron of shalai, whether it's a chisaron of eina b'shuso. But let's further analyze this. Assuming that it's a cat falls into the category of eino b'shuso, is that correct or not? Is that a correct application of the principle of eino b'shuso? Let's go back to the original case of the Gemara of something that's called eino b'shuso, something that's stolen. So that's an explicit Gemara. Somebody steals my car, I can't be machdish it because that's called shaloi v'eino b'shuso. So yesh lodin, one could raise a question, what is it about a stolen item that makes it eino b'shuso? Why is it that if somebody stole my car, so then it becomes a new category in halacha called shaloi v'eino b'shuso? What is it about the act of stealing that's mafkia the rishus, my rishus, from this item? So there is a machlekes the Balamor and the Ramban in the fourth parakha Maseches Bava Kama about the following shaila. What would be the din? Somebody steals my car, and I'm very upset about it. I can't find the car. I have no idea what the person is. And all of a sudden, I get a call on Erev Yom Kippur. The person feels terrible. They want to return the car. So they tell me, listen, I'm going to drive you the car. I'll be back in an hour. I'm going to bring you the car, deliver it back to your driveway, right before Kamidre. So comes the Balamor and says, so then I can't be Machdish. Why? If I know it's coming back, if it's already on the way back, I'm sure it's going to be returned. So says the Balamor, then it's no problem. Then Yochel HaHakdish. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, the Milchamas, the beginning of the fourth Brachah of Avakamas says, no, even though the person has promised to return it, and I trust the person is going to return it, holds on that he hasn't actually returned it, I haven't yet, quote-unquote, we acquired it, I cannot be machdish. What's the Nekudas HaMachloikas between the Balamor and the Ramban? So it's usually explained, but the Nekudas HaMachloikas is as follows. What is it that created the status of Eino B'shuso in the first place? Is Eino B'shuso a function of Metzius? Is Eino B'shuso a function of, it's not in my control? How can you transfer ownership on something that you're not in control of? So if something is stolen, so you don't have access to it, so the lack of access is what creates the status of Eino B'shuso. That's the Balamor Shita. And therefore the Balamor says, well, that can be rectified immediately. As soon as the person is on the way back, so then I do have access to it. I know it's around the corner, so that's enough to be bring it back into my rishus, and I can't be machdish. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no. What created the status of Eino B'shuso was not the physical lack of control. What created Eino B'shuso is api halacha, that when a person steals something, they attain what's called the kidin gezela. When you steal something, it doesn't mean you can keep it forever, but you become chayv and achrayas on it. There is a chayv hashava. There are certain dinim that begin at the moment of a maisa gezela. And it's that kinyan gezela that the gazlan has that's mafkia the shame reshus from my object. Therefore, there are...
is now becoming a shomer?
Yeah, if he actually returns it, well,
Kozman. But if he decides to return, that's not a shomer.
No, he's still called the Gazlan. Kozman, that I haven't gotten it back. I haven't yet come to my rishus. I haven't made it back to Kinyan.
If he holds it, not to give it back, but once he decides to give it
He's worse than a shomer. He's still a Gazlan. The Heish was a Xeluxiv. Until he does a Maisa Shova, he still has a Shem Gazlan on him.
He's probably Chai Feinzen, like even.
He's still Chai Feinzen. Yeah, he's still Chai Feinzen. Still Chai Feinzen. So according to the Balamor, that what created this shame of Eina B'Shusay is just the lack of access. According to the Ramban, it's not the lack of access, but rather it's the Kinyan Gazel Shabbat. So my nafkamidi between the Balamor and the Ramban, besides the case that they're arguing about, so Lechora, this is the Shaila as well. Is it possible to call a Dover Asa B'Hano an Eina B'Shusay? Does that equation make any sense? So according to the Balamor, yes. According to the Balamor, what ultimately created Eina B'Shusay is my inability to have access to something. I can have an inability of access for multiple reasons, either because somebody else took it from me, or because, in effect, the Rebbe Shalom took it from me, the Shulchan Aruch took it from me. According to the Shulchan Aruch, I can't use it anymore. It can be sitting in front of me, but if Lamaisa, I don't have access to it because the Halacha prohibits me to use it, that's called an Eina B'Shusay. But according to the Ramban, that what creates the status of Eina B'Shusay is the Kinyan Gezela. So who has the Shulchan Aruch has a Kinyan Gezela on my cheeseburger? I says that concept obviously doesn't make any sense. So according to the Ramban, that you need a Kinyan Gezela to be mafkia my rishus from something. So that doesn't make any sense when it comes to a davar asabana. So l'chora, this question that the Ktzais is raising, whether the reason why Isuri Hano are not transferable is because it's Eina B'Shusay, that possibility, that model of Eina B'Shusay, l'chora only makes sense if you're in the framework of the Balamor. If you look at the world of Eina B'Shusay through the eyes of the Balamor, so then that equation between a davar agozel and a davar asabana begins to make sense. According to the Rabban, l'chora, there's no connection between the two.
What's the difference between Isuri Hano and Zayla?
Okay, it's possible. I mean, but we don't know. We don't have a riot that that's a new category of halacha. At least we have a pre-existing category called Eina B'Shusay. So according to the Balamor, it fits in beautifully. To say that maybe there's a new category, something which is awesome, I know the entire Olam, so maybe that's more of an Eina B'Shusay, maybe. But according to the... But the starting point is it belongs to me. I paid for it, so I bought it. Now it becomes asabano. So the fact that it's asabano, what is mafkia my rishus from it? So according to the Ramban, we only have one model of a mafkia rishus. That's a kinyan gazela. We don't have a kinyan gazela by a davar asabano. So pechatesa, that should be so.
If we see from gazela that Kozman, that it's not returned, the guy is still a Gazlan. So how does the Balamor say that as soon as the guy tells you he's bringing it back, it's already considered back in your rishus and you have control of it? Kozman, that you can't put your hands on it, how does that called control?
The Ramban had, was down the chavs, the Balamor was down the chavs chos. And the Balamor says, the guy's on the way back, he's around the corner, that's enough to bring him. So you want to argue, so you want to say, you want to disagree with the Balamor, not me, Tom, the Ramban. The Ramban
is...
Okay, you're allowed to disagree. The Ramban disagrees with the Balamor mitam dinimominus. You want to disagree with the Balamor mitam psychology. Name it. It's not true. It's partially not true. There's no such thing as it being yet in your control unless you literally have it in your hands. So maybe it could be. So the Balamor is a double chiddush. He's chiddush number one that he's not consumed with the kinyan gazela, and he's chiddush number two that he's having almost a watered down version of what's considered to be b'shusa.
So according to him, it's in my control, but he's still a Gazlan.
Right. That's right. That's right. Okay. That's what the Balamor says. Then take a look at the Balamor, begin for a pack of accounts.
Can
you do tshuva? Do tshuva as always. You can always do tshuva. Adyoy Moise Techakeloi. Well, that's going to help and not a kentai. So getting back to the story. So we're trying to figure out. You mean whether you need a formal Maisa Kinyan to be makhnei back, or... I'm not so sure about that. I don't know whether you need a formal Maisa Kinyan for that. But it has to be a real Hafzor. It's got to be a Chzor L'Shusa, some shape or form. More than just this, theoretical recall that you're on the way back. So let's just chaz for a second. So we started out with the Gemara in Gidin Daf Chof, where the Gemara says that we have no qualms, we have no problems, writing again in the Davar Asabano. So we raised the Ktosis Kasha. How could that be? You have to transfer it to the woman. There's no way to transfer it because the davar asa banor. That was the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Mem Bei. So we went back to the Gemara and tried to analyze, well, why is that? Why exactly is that that you can't transfer ownership of the davar asa banor? So we have two different models. One is to say that it's called Eino Shaloi, and the other is to say that it's called Eino B'Shusay, If it's shaykh to call it a b'shus, so it depends on the machlokes balamor and the Ramban. But what really is the answer to this question? Why is it that a dover osmanah can't be transferred? Is it really in a shaloi? What's the deal? Can I own something? Is it shaykh that bailas on a dover osmanah? So correct that you refer to the sugya in Maseches Sukkah. It's somewhat of a complicated sugya in the third brach of Maseches Sukkah about using an esrog, which is osmanah. The Mishnah talks about an esrog shal of a dezoran, an esrog shal yonidachas, and an esrog shal orla. And the Mishnah speaks about all the different, the Gemara speaks about all the different problems with these esrogim. So there is a major machlokes of Rishayim as to what exactly is the root of the problem, particularly about an esrog shel orla. So the Ritva quotes in the name of the Ravid that the ultimate reason why an esrog shel orla is no good is because it's not called lachem. How can you call something lachem? How can it be considered to be yours if it's also banor? It's considered to be chisor of the etzem shel lachem. So the Ritva quotes this Ravid and strongly disagrees with the Ravid. Comes to Ritva and says, "Behechateis is not called lachem. I bought it. It's my money. The fact that it's also banor, what does that have to do with lachem? So why can't I be yotzi dalam minim with it? So there are half a dozen other reasons why maybe I can't be yotzi dalam minim with it. But in terms of the problem of lachem, there is no chisaron of lachem because the dover also banor is in fact considered to be lachem. So the Gemara Maseches Sukkah is not a raya one way or the other. So we reference another Gemara Maseches Pesachim. Okay, so we'll address that Gemara also. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim on the Vav Mebeis tells us that after chametz is also bahanoa, so you can no longer be mevatel it. So the Gemara uses a very, very cryptic phrase. The Gemara says, well, it's ain't a b'shuso anymore. Shnei dvarim ain't a b'shuso shaladam. It's considered to be ain't a b'shuso, and therefore you can't declare it to be batel. According to Tosfos, who learns that bitul chametz is synonymous with hefker, so this fits in very nicely, that once it's also banah, so it's not, you're not able to be mevatle. You can't be mafke, you can't sell it, you can't be makdash, etc. But it's not clear from the Gemara for what is the reason for that halacha. Is the reason for that halacha because it's eino shaloi? Is that what the Gemara means? When the Gemara uses the phrase eino b'shuso, so the Gemara just meant more in a colloquial sense, but it really means eino shaloi. It says mamish doesn't belong to you, chametz of Pesach doesn't belong to you. But maybe one can argue, no. Maybe one can argue that the Gemara meant literally eino b'shuso, which would be a support of the Ketosis theory. So we have a few Gemaras that talk about Isuri HaNoah playing out in terms of mitzvos, but it's not clear from either of these Gemaras what the real problem is. We know that you can't be yaitse with an esrog shel orla, but we're not quite sure. Is there even like the Ravid said because it's not called lachem, or is there reason other reasons like the Ritva says? We
why
know that you can't.
Why don't
you
rely from the Asheiro? It says the only problem is that it's mech the shiure and not that it's not.
Okay, very good. So the Gemara doesn't say that's the only problem. The Gemara says that's a problem. So it could be that the Gemara wanted the reason of ksusim mech shiure because that's more inclusive. If it would only be the problem of lachem, then it would have been kosher after the first day. So this is Mech Teshuva knocks it out for the entire week. So it's not clear that that's the only reason. So again, so getting back to the Pesachim story. So the Gemara in Pesachim says you can't be Bevatel Chometz after it's Asa Banah. But again, they're also, we're not sure, is it because it's Eino Shaloi or is it called Eino Bishusai?
The fact that the Gemara has to put it back in your Shus to be Chayav, isn't that sure that you don't have?
Okay, very good. So the next line the Gemara says that it's a Chiddush over by Rav Aymat. So the Gemara, that was the context of the Gemara, the Amr Rabbi Shmuel, right? The Shnei Dvarim Eino B'Shusa Shel Adam, the Asar Nakasuk Yilein B'Shusa. So the Gemara says, it's a Chiddush that you're over by Rav Aymat, say, because you really shouldn't have been over. So now you have to plug in either Pshat into this Gemara. So if you hold that Isuri HaNoah generally not yours, so then the Gemara reads like a charm. The Gemara reads beautifully. That by Rav Aymat is only violated when the Chometz belongs to you. When it's also by Noah, you should never over, ever be over by Rav Aymat, say, Kamash Malan Asa Koski Lir B'Shusa. But if you hold the other version, that it's called Shaloi Ve'Einu B'Shusa, so what's the Gemara talking about? Why would I have thought that you're not over by Rav Aymat? So you see a tremendous Chiddush from this Gemara. You see that in order to be over by Rav Aymat, it's not enough that it be Shaloi, it has to be Shalcha U'B'Shuscha. Because otherwise the Gemara doesn't read at all. So that's a big Chiddush. I wouldn't have known that on my own, that in order to be over by Rav Aymat, it's not enough just that I own it. It has to be Shali Ubir Shusi. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. So therefore, Chometz is Taka Shaloi Ve'ena B'Shusai. So you shouldn't have been Oiver. Asana Kosa Pshuto Kiyuhim B'Shusai. The Torah says that we're going to make believe that that vis-a-vis by Rav Imate, it is considered to be B'Shuscha. So there is a Ramban on the Torah in Pashas Bo that has a similar idea of requiring B'Shusa in order to be over by Rav Imate. Albeit the Ramban is using B'Shusa in a little bit of a different context over there. But again, getting back to that story, so the Gemara can be read either way. One could argue that maybe that Gemara Maseches Pesachim is not relevant b'chlal to our discussion, because there's something worse about chametz than all other Isuri Hanah, and that is the fact that it's ton ibud min ha'olam. One could have suggested that a regular davar asa banah, where there's no absolute requirement, there's no isur by Rabbi Matzah, I don't have to go run and destroy it right away. So maybe one could argue such an item, maybe it's considered to be shali, maybe it's even called b'shus, I can't tell. But chametz is worse than regular Isuri Hanah because it's ton of ibud min ha'olam. So maybe it's the tashbisu shabai, the by Rabbi Matzah shabai, that requires that the clears are to be eino shali or eino b'shusi. Yeah, but that's not. I said both tashbisu slash by. No. I'm just saying that chometz we know there's an isra by Rabbi Matzah, there's a mitzvah tashbisu and chometz. So maybe that's what created the status of eino b'shusi shalada. Maybe regular isra no arshali. Maybe regular isra no. Maybe even b'shusi. I don't have any gemara b'feirish that way. Gemara b'kandem hey can be understood a little bit of a different way. So just because the gemara says that there's a chiddush haTorah that you're over by Rabbi Matzah and chometz, because otherwise you shouldn't have been over. So maybe one can argue that there's something unique about chometz. Chometz is different than other isra no, because it has that dimension of Tony b'Rov. So it's not the gemara used the lashon in a b'shusa. So that's the question. What Rashi could say, I don't remember. So it's not clear what the ina b'shusa the gemara means. That's exactly what it tells us the kutei.
What about the comparison to Bor? Bor is not yours b'chol. It's definitely not
Shiva.
Right.
The fact that the
Gemara
puts them together, isn't that
not necessarily. The comparison is supposed to highlight the idea of Asana Kosaki Rishusa. That's the goal of Rabbi Yishmael. So these are both cases where, according to Dina Momenus, I shouldn't have been really responsible, either because of Chomet, because of the Ena Shaloi part, or Ena Rishusa part, or because the Bor is not Ena Shaloi. So for to highlight Rabbi Yishmael's Din, they're similar.
The Gemara Tzokah says Shalvada Zara, rule of Shalvada Zara, lo yitov and not lo kasha. The Gemara says that dafka sheri shal moishe, because it's ketuta mekdash shir. So all of Shalvada Zara is also ba'ana, right?
Well, first of all, there's a big machlekes of Rishonim over there. What exactly it's talking about is that kainim is lach, but that's not so special at all. So again, so getting back to the story, so the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim is not clear for multiple reasons. We're not sure whether the Gemara meant Einar Shaloi, we're not sure whether the Gemara meant Einar B'shuso, but we're not even sure whether the Gemara meant that Chometz is different because Chometz is Don Ibn Mina Oilam. There is a Chivas Chassam Sofer where he was asked about the Shaila, about whether Chometz is the same, not the same as other Yisriya Noah. So it's a fascinating Chivas for two reasons. First of all, it's just fascinating because it's got a lot of nice terrors in it, but it's fascinating the historical background of this Chivas. Is that he writes in the tshuva that it's very hard for him to answer the shaila because he doesn't have any access to his svarim. Why doesn't he have access to his svarim? Because he writes that his wife just had a baby and she was sleeping in the room where all the svarim were and she had a hard childbirth. So he doesn't want to be matriacha. He doesn't want to wake her up. So he's going to write the tshuva ba'al peh. So he writes the tshuva and he apologizes 10 times that he doesn't have any access to the svarim. Then he writes a 10-page tshuva all about the Isuri Hanah. And in that tshuva he has this nekud in it. He learned a lot of good things about Chassam Sofer. Not just knew how to learn, but he was respectful of his wife that she was leaving. Okay, anyway, getting back to
this. Until she woke up.
No, because in those days, the Pony Express was on the way. Next time you see the mailman, it'll be another 6 months. Okay, good. So getting back to our story. So we know for a fact that the starting point is what the Gemara Bava Kama says, that when you have a davar asa banah, you can't transfer ownership on it. Whether that means in a shaloi, whether it means in a b'shusa, we can't quite tell, but it means something. So getting back to Tzoyis' kasha and getting the puff, so how is it that you can give a get on a davar asa banah? So the Tzoyis says, from here you see a yesod about getin, a new interpretation of what the pasuk means v'nasim b'yada. V'nasim b'yada does not mean that you have to be makne the get to the woman. V'nasim b'yada kipshuta means you have to be noisein the get to the woman. There is no din of hakanas a get. There's a din of nesinas a get. So 99% of the time, nesin and hakanah go hand in hand, but not always. So the Torah is only mechayev and nesinas a get. It's not mechayev hakanas a get. There's no parsha kinyanim when it comes to get. And therefore, you can do a physical nesin on a davar asa banah, even though you can't do a halachic hakanah. So that's a major question. Is that true? What exactly is the kaveh in terms of gittin? So that seems to be a machlekes of Rishonim towards the end of Maseches Gittin, the beginning of the 8th parak. There is a machlekes Rashi and the other Rishonim about when you give a get without even doing a nesina. What if you give a get and you transfer ownership of the piece of paper to the woman through a kinyan agav? So let's say a person writes a get, puts it down on the floor, no one near the woman. Then he goes in and he's makna a piece of land to the woman, and he says to her, by the way, agav, the land, I'm going to be makna you the get. Is that going to work or not? So Rashi quotes the Mishnah Kedusha that nechasim sheim mechrayas, nikanim nechasim sheim mechrayas. There's a principle called in agav, and that's perfectly okay. So the Rishonim jump in Rashi and say, what does that have to do with gittin? So that's a din in kakno, that's a din in Kedusha, above metziah. What does that have to do with the parsha of gittin? So lechor, that seems to be the nekudas hamachlokes, that according to Rashi, what you have to accomplish is a haknas get. So you can have a haknas without a nesina. Whereas according to the other Rishonim, we're saying, no, by gittin, it's not a parsha of haknas. By gittin, it's a parsha of nesina. This doesn't qualify as a nesina, so that it can be a haknas from today till tomorrow. One could have theoretically argued with Rashi for other reasons. One could have taken Rashi to the issue, because maybe kiddin agav is only a kiddin midirabonim. Machlek is 2 days in Tosfos, whether the Mishnah and Kedushin that speaks about kiddin agav, is that a real din d'oraisa or not? The problem is the Gemara doesn't quote a pasuk from Chumash for kiddin agav. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim. So that's always questionable. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Nach. So does the Gemara mean it's only a din midirabonim? Or does the Gemara mean it's really a din midiraisa? It's halach mosh mesid, it's part of Tosh Bapeh. And we're just quoting the pasuk from Nach as an asmachta bi'alma. So it's not clear what the din is. So Tosis in different places points out different things. Tosis in Mevakam and Tafid Beis assumes that Kinyan Agav is only a Kinyan Midirabon. And Tosis in Kedushin of Hey, he talks about Kinyan Agav in the context of Kavachimis, their Isis for Kedushin. It's clear from Tosis, Bekevega on the spot points out, it's clear from Tosis that they were assuming that Kinyan Agav is a din der Isis. So it's not clear whether Agav is a der Isis or whether it's a Dirabonon. So if you hold that Kinyan Agav is only a Kinyan Midirabonon, that would be another possible objection to giving a get. Maybe in order to give a get, you have to be kind with a Kinyan der Isis. Maybe being kind with the kid in the rabbana wouldn't be good enough. So we could have multiple reasons why. Yeah, okay, so that's true. So there is a din that Arba Amos works for a get, but that's a big machlokes in Rishonim, how that works. So some of the Rishonim say it's based on Afkinu. It's based on Afkinu, based on Afkinu, it's based on Afkinu, fine. But there are other Rishonim who say, no, there's a Tesis Rid that says that that works with the Raisa, because even though we have a din that Arba Amos are only kainim in the Rabbanon, that's Lagabe Kinyonim. But Lagabe, to be called Venosim Biyodah, to be called the Yodah Shaladam, so even with the Raisa, that's good enough. That's a halacha Moshe Masina. How did Tosfos Rid know there's such a halach Moshe, just as an aside? Tosfos Rid, we state there's such a halach Moshe Sinai. So I thought that the Pshat of Tosfos Rid is like this. There's a din in Masechah Shabbos that if you carry Dalet Amos and Rishus Arabim, see a chayiv skila. So the Gemara asks the question, how do you know that? Minani Mili. So the Gemara tries to find the Bokhafer, and finally the Gemara throws its hands up and says, Hilchasa Gemira La. It's halach Moshe Sinai of Dalet Amos, Rishus Arabim. So the Rishonim on the spot, the Balmor, the Chdishiran on the spot say, what do you mean it's Allah HaMashem Sina? How can you give a person Misa for Allah HaMashem Sina? Generally, the rule is, you can't give a person an Einesh unless it's before Shema Torah. So how can you give Misa for Allah HaMashem Sina of Dalet Amos? So the Rishonim explained that it's not a brand new halacha Moshe Sinai. What the halacha Moshe Sinai is that that's considered to be Otsar Mishus Lashus. We know that Otsar Mishus Lashus is Chayav. That's called the Malacha. That was Balachas HaMishkan. So whatever part of Balachas HaMishkan is included in Lasasek or Malacha. And by Otsar, we actually have even real explicit Pesukim 4 in Parshas Vayakal. So we know that Otsar Mishus Lashus is also in a Torah. The halacha Moshe Sinai is not that there's a din b'fnei atzmai called Avar Dalet Amos. The halacha Moshe Sinai is that that's considered to be called Otsar Mishuso, because Dalet Amos Shalodim Hein Mishuso. So I think what the Tosfos Rid is driving at is like this. You see from that din of Shabbos that that's licked in the din of Dalet Amos. That Kach Nimsa Moshe Rabbeinu, the Dalet Amos Shalodim Hein Mishuso. So now we just extrapolate that from Hilchas Gittin. So in Hilchas Gittin, where there is no din of Akunah, you just din Menos and Biyada, that's considered to be Yada Shalodim. The same way it's called Yada Meshusa Shalodim for Shabbos, it's called Yada Shalodim for Hilchas Gittin. So that would be, so I don't know whether Dalet Amos Meshus Ram we want to use as the model for using Kinyanim D'Rabbanan. I thought you were going to ask me about Rabbi Kivayim and see what's about Hagbah, then I was going to get ready for a fight, but this I'm not going to fight you. Afterwards we'll talk. Okay. Good. So again,
the other
you're going to start a fight. Someone's going to start a fight.
No, Lapdavka, they argue you need a Kinyan. They could also need a Kinyan. You need two things, maybe. You need a Kinyan and the Yad. Maybe.
Okay, maybe it's possible. So again, we don't know. Just that the Tzoyis is Chiddush. Right. I'm not saying the two are necessarily tall as a bezet. We're just pointing out the Tzoyis is Chiddush that Nesina is good enough, even though there's a lack of Haknah. So that touches upon a general question about Hukhaz Gittin, whether Hukhaz Gittin is more focused on Nesina, whether Hukhaz Gittin is more focused on Akhra. It's not necessarily Tal Zibazim, maybe you need both, maybe one without the other. It's not clear. So this is the ketosis you say, that the reason why the get is going to be good is because even though you can't pull off a hakuna on a Dover Asabana, either because it's Ena Shaloi or it's called Ena Bishus, so whatever the reason is, but in Nesina, you can have. But then.
For
Yeah, but that's also good. Unless the Sheva Pruta doesn't bother me, because the Shtar never has to be worth the Sheva Pruta. Like the Gemara has by Kedushin. If you're Makadosh and Nisha with Kesef less than the Sheva Pruta, that's no good. But if you write a Shtar less than the Sheva Pruta, that's perfectly okay. So then the Ketzai
said,
according to Rashi, again, so either Rashi is saying either or, maybe Rashi says the Nasid would be good without a Kinyan or Kinyan without a Nasid possibly, or we're not 100% sure that you can't transfer ownership on a Dover Asabano. I started off by saying the Gemara Masechet Bava Kama Daf Mem Hei, but under my breath I quoted Rabbeinu Tam, which I didn't want to talk about, but if you really push me enough, so maybe we'll talk about it. But it's not so posh that that's what the Gemara is saying. It's not so posh that there is an inability to make a Kinyan on a Dover Asabano. It's not 100% sure. Even though Rashi Taka probably does hold that way. Anyway, so get back to this. So there comes the Ran in Masechet Gittin and raises a whole different question, a whole different issue in terms of Kosvah Leisur HaNoah. Comes the Ran and says, wait a second, how can you write again in a Dover Asma Noah? Maybe the Dover Asma Noah is something which is Ton Sreifa. It's something which has to be destroyed, it has to be burned. So maybe we should apply a principle called, it's not here, called Omer Dusav Kesarav Domi. Maybe it doesn't exist, and maybe that would be a problem. So comes the Ran and says, well, in order to formulate that question, we need a little bit of a background. Not all Yisuri HaNoah are Ton Sreifa. Some Yisuri HaNoah have to be burnt. Other Yisuri HaNoah can be disposed in other ways. That's the Mishnah, Maseches Tmura, about Nisrochan and Nigbarin. So the Ran says that if you look in the Gemara, Maseches Gittin Daf Chav, the Gemara doesn't spell out any difference. The Gemara doesn't differentiate whether we're dealing with Nisrochan or with Nigbarin. The Gemara just says in one lump of the statement that Shalcha Mitam, Kosvah Yisuri HaNoah, is kosher. So the Ran says it makes us sound like we should believe that it applies even to those Yisuri HaNoah which are Minhan Yisrafin. Let's say, for example, Orla. You have an apple of Orla, and you write again an apple of Orla, even though it's Minhan Yisrafin. So it sounds like the get is still going to be kosher. So the Ran says, so why should that be so? It's not here. It doesn't exist. So says the Ran, who says it doesn't exist? So there happens to be a machlekes at Tanoim between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. It's really a machlekes in Tzidochus Kachim, in Yichus Paradum, other areas of Halacha, about what's called Kala Omid Lisrof Kesarof Tami, the Kala Omid Lisrof is Lav Kesarof Tami. Whenever something is about to be done, you know, it's Omid Lakach to be done, do we say Apidin, it's already been done already? Or do I say, no, it hasn't been done yet? And when you do it, that's when it gets done. Kozman, you haven't done it. So then Apidin, it hasn't yet happened. So Kala Omid Lisrof Kesarof Tami, Lav Kesarof Tami. So that Machlaikis, Rabbi Shimon Drabana, and permeates Kala Tarakula, the Gemara Sugas and Zvachim, Kala Omid Lisrof Kesarof Tami. If I'm not mistaken, I think I spoke about this one time right here in this room. I don't remember.
By the nails.
That's right. Very good. That's right. By the nails. Okay, good. We should get bechinas here. Annual bechinas. So I spoke about the Ravan, the Taz and the Shach, about when a woman's about to go to the mikvah and she has long nails, she hasn't cut them yet. So do we say kala omid lito cannot dummy? So the Ravan invoked that principle, which is almost Rabbi Shimon's principle, and others said the whole thing is not correct. But whatever, another time, another place. But here, when it comes to Yisuri HaNoah, so comes
same place,
different time. Okay, so comes the Ran in Masechet Gittin and says that whether or not we accept the principle that just because it's supposed to be burnt, so it doesn't exist, so that's a machlekes hatanoim. So comes the Ran and says, if you would hold like Rabbi Shimon that kol omid lisrof kesarof dami, then you would have a real problem when it comes to a get, because if you have a get that's written on something like the oil, which is omid lisrof, so then it's not here. So it's like literally ursius perkas be'avir, like the Gemara says in Gittin, if you give a get to the woman and you don't transfer her the paper, you say I'm just giving you the letters, not the paper. That's still good. So if you just ursius perkas be'avir, that wouldn't be acceptable. So if you hold like Rabbi Shimon that dover omid lisrof is kesarof dami, so then that would invalidate the get on those grounds. But the good news is that we don't follow Rabbi Shimon. We pass it like the Rabbanan. Most of Rishon pass it like the Rabbanan. So that's not going to be a problem. But the Ran raises another problem. There is a Girsah problem in this Ran. If you take a look at the Ran in Maseches Gittin, you may not see everything that I'm telling you, but I'm telling you that's what it's supposed to say. So I'm not telling you. The Biragura is a whole Hagah on that Ran, because the way the Ran reads is there's like a couple of words missing in the Ran. But I'm going to present to you what it's supposed to say. So comes the, that's if you check me up on it, so don't blame me for not giving you the whole picture. I'm Maseches Gittin before it. So comes the Ran and then raises another question. He says, even though we don't follow Rabbi Shimon, but Bamedriva Mamurim that the Chum disagree with Rabbi Shimon, that's when you have an item that has to be present, but there's no particular shear to that item. When you have something that's torn a shear, when you have something that has to have a certain measurement, a certain size to it, that's a whole different ballgame. So that's what the Gemara calls, we referred to before, called Ksusi Mechta Shire. The Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Masechet Sukkah speak about when you have a Chavta Shal Mitzvah that requires a shear to it, so then everybody agrees that Ksusi Mechta Shire, the shear isn't here. If something is Amid Lisrof, to say it doesn't exist, okay, maybe Rabino, that's Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. But when something is Amid Lisrof, you cannot possibly call that as a Shiur. So vis-a-vis Hilchos Shiurim is considered to be Kamanda Deleisa Dami. So comes around and rephrases the question. He says, Zol Zayin, we don't accept Rabbi Shimon, but we follow the Rabbanan. And according to the Rabbanan, we should disqualify the get because it is Ksusei Mechta Shiurit, which the Ran says, no, you can't apply Ksusei Mechta Shiurit to a get because there's no size for a get. There is no Shia for a get. Obviously, you have to write on a piece of paper that's big enough that you can read. You can't read it that a Nishkin get, but that's not a halach. That's not a Shia. If you're a really, really qualified self, you can write Tini Tini. That's also good enough. So there's no halacha Shia. The only time we find Ksusei Mechta Shiurit, let's say by Esrik, by Lula, by Shoifa, where there's a halachic Shia to something, that's called Ksusei Mechta Shiurit. There's no Shia Bechlal, so the whole thing wouldn't apply. So that's the Shachmatar and the Ran. So the Ran started out by saying, what happened to Kol Amid Lisrof Kesarav Dami? So the answer is, yeah, we don't follow Rabbi Shimon. Second kasha, so what happens to Ksusei Mechta Shiurit? So the answer is, it's not a problem because this lack of a Shia doesn't really exist here by Gittin because there is no Shia. What it's clear from the Ran is that there are certain Yisuri I know where Ksusei Mechta Shiurit would have made sense, and there are certain that wouldn't have made sense. So L'chor, the first difference between two is that not all Yisuri I know are to Unsreifa. So those Yisuri I know which are required Sreifa, L'chor, you can begin to discuss Ksusei Mechta Shiurit. At the end of the day, it's a short discussion because Get doesn't have a Shia. But at least it was on the radar screen to discuss, at least with Nisirei Sreifa. But if you look carefully, it's not even so partial that presentation is correct. That which the Ran is breaking down and saying, Nikbarin, so there's no Ksus Mechshir on that. Nisrafin, oh, whenever something is Ton Sreifa, that's automatically called Ksus Mechshir. So if you look very carefully at the Gemara in Masech HaSukkah that you referred to before in the Flamed Hay, the Gemara discusses Ksus Mechshir by certain Nisirei Anah, and deliberately maybe left it out by others. So let's say Lamoshul by the Ir Nidachas, by Avodah Zarah, that's what the Gemara discusses, Ksusei Mechta Shiurit. When it comes to Esok Shel Orla, so the Gemara is silent, the Gemara doesn't say a word about Ksusei Mechta Shiurit by Esok Shel Orla, which raises a red flag. Why not? What happened to Ksusei Mechta Shiurit? So the Ran and Gittin told us that Ksusei Mechta Shiurit doesn't apply to a get because there's no Shia. That's not going to help us by Esreg. So how come, if we just analyze the sugya of Ksusei Mechta Shiurit, how come sometimes we find this principle and sometimes we don't? So by Asher and Ir Nidachas, we find it. When it comes to Orla, so somehow it's missing. So what's Pshat? So the Baal HaMor in Maseches Sukkah clearly learns that it's missing. The Baal HaMor says Beferish that an Esrog Shel Orla is not subject to the Dinuk Ksusei Mechta Shiurit. It doesn't explain why, but it's clear from the Baal HaMor that there is no Dinuk Ksusei Mechta Shiurit to such an extent that the Baal HaMor holds, going back to what we mentioned before, the Baal HaMor holds, the only reason why you're not Yaitu in Esrog Shel Orla is because it's not called Lachem, and that's when the Baal HaMor says, after the first day, you talk about Yaitu. The Baal HaMor says, Beferish, an Esrog Shel Ir Nidacha, Shel Asheri, you're not Yaitu the whole week, because the Ksusei Mechta Shiurit. Whereas in Esrog Shel Orla, you talk about Yaitu, I'd say, after the first day, because it's only a problem of Lachem. So what's missing? Why is it that there's no Ksusei Mechta Shiurit? So Taka de Rishon disagree with the Baal HaMor in the spot. The Rav and others disagree with the Baal HaMor and say, no, Ksusei Mechta Shiurit does apply. It very much does apply, even to an Esrog Shel Orla. So what are they fighting about? What's the Nekuda Samachlokes? So there is a big question when we speak about different things that are Teun Sreifa. So the Mishnah in Maseches Tmura lists off a bunch of different things of Yisuri and Nod that are Teun Sreifa. So Oral, Akilia, Kerema Teun Sreifa, Vedizara Teun Sreifa, Shever Teun Sreifa. So the question is, are they all the same category? They're all lumped into one basic category, or are there fundamental differences between the two? So there is a Mishnah, the end of Maseches Tmura, where the Mishnah says, Kolan Israfin Lo Yigbayru. That if you have something which is Teun Sreifa, so you shouldn't bury it. So Rashi on the spot says something very strange. Rashi says, you know why you shouldn't bury it? Because if you bury it, somebody may dig it up and they may end up using it. So therefore, don't bury it. So Rabbi Kivega on the spot asks, what do you mean that's the reason why you shouldn't bury it? I'll tell you why you shouldn't bury it. You shouldn't bury it because it's Teun Sreifa, because you have to burn it. So what are you telling me a story? That you can you don't have to bury it. You shouldn't bury it for some tangential reason. You shouldn't bury it because there's a mitzvah Sreifa.
So not all is Sreifa, but mitzvah Sreifa.
Oh, so that's what Kivega didn't think that. Kivega left with Tzarachiyun. The L'chor, the Pshat in the Rashi is what the Chassam Sofer writes in the Shuv. Chassam Sofer is with Kivega's son-in-law. So he answers the Shver's Kasha. So the Chassam Sofer says that, no, the Pshat in Rashi is like this. That just because something is called Ben HaNisrafin doesn't mean there's a Chayv HaSreifa. Ben HaNisrafin just means that if you choose to do Sreifa on it, so the Sreifa will be Chal, and my nafkamina the Sreifa is Chal. So that's a sugad yad. The Tamura called Nisrafin Ekvan Mutter, the whole story. If you burn it, the Eifa is going to...
It's Chayv HaNisrafin.
It's Gai Mitzvot. Right. That's the Tosef Maseches Tamura, Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, Tzimah. Right. That means it's going to be something that's going to be chal with the Sereifa. But in terms of, are you mechuyev to be served? Nishkin, there's no such mitzvah. You're not obligated to be served anything. Asherin in Idach is you have to burn. But Orla is Milan Nisrafid. Milan Nisrafid just means you have a reshus to be served, and there are going to be some advantages, some benefits of being served. But in terms of a chiyuv to be served, no such chiyuv. That's a Rashi had to go around the bend and say, well, and by the way, why shouldn't you bury it? Because of some technicality. But in terms of the mitzvah sreifa, there doesn't exist a mitzvah sreifa. So Taisis, as you pointed out correctly, Taisis and Tamura clearly disagrees. Taisis applies the rule of Nasa's mitzvah to it. And even those who never learned that Taisis and Tamura, but Reb Chaim and Chomitz Matzah made that Taisis famous. So the bottom line is that there's machlekes and rishayim. When we speak about something being sreifa, does it really mean you have to do it? We don't necessarily, mamish have to do it. So maybe that's the issue between the Balamor and the Raven, the Rishonim Masechet Sukkah. The Balamor, who somehow ignored Ksusi Mechtashir by Orla, says, Ksusi Mechtashir, right? Maybe the Balamor held that Ksusi Mechtashir only makes sense by a Shein when you're in Nidachas, where there's a Chayva Sereifa. But when there's no Chayva Sereifa, so then what do you mean it's not Oymid L'Sereifa? I don't have to be served. I can get rid of it another way, Minatari, if I want to. So what's the problem? That's not called the Oymid L'Sereifa. And maybe the other Rishonim would disagree, say no, that that's called the Oymid L'Sereifa, because they held like Reb Kvegas Kasha, they held like Taisus, like Reb Chaim, that there is Mamash HaChayva Sereifa. So the Ritva in Masechet Sukkah walks a tightrope between these two shitas. The Ritva writes that he doesn't think there's a Chayva Sereifa, he says like Chassam Sofer, but he says, Afa Pichen, you still say Ksus HaMech Teshira. Why is that? Because even though it's not Mechuyiv to be Sereifa, but it's still Oymid L'Sereifa, since most people do burn the Orla. Why would you not burn it? If you burn it, you can use the ashes. So it's called the Oymid L'Sereifa, even though it's not necessarily Mechuyiv Sereifa. So again, that part is not clear. So getting back to our story, so the Ran is trying to break down for us different types of Yisur HaNoah. Sometimes you say Ksus HaMech Teshira, and sometimes you don't. When it comes to Gittin, it's irrelevant, says the Ran. It doesn't make the slightest difference, because a Gittin doesn't have a Shear to it. So even those which are Oymid L'Sereifa, it's still okay. But out of the realm of Chukos Gittin, it is important to know whether we're dealing with things which are Ksus HaMech Teshira or not. So some of them are and some of them aren't. So one possible difference is Nisrafin versus Nikbarin. Another possible difference is even within the Nisrafin, some of them may be more Ton Sreifa than others. There is another factor that may go into whether Ksus HaMech Teshira makes sense, not in terms of focusing on the difference of the Isra HaNoah, but maybe in terms of focusing on the difference of the Shear. Not all Shiurim are created equal. There are different types of Shear, Shiurim and Halacha. Sometimes there's a Shear, which is in a certain sense an objective Shear. Kach Lemer Halacha Moshe Sinai, the Shear has to be this size, that's the other size. Doesn't correspond to anything in Olam Hazeh. That's the way it is. Kach Nemar Halacha. That's one type of a shiur. Then you have other kinds of shiurim, which are almost a reflection of a physical metzias. Means because there's a certain physical thing in this world that has to be accomplished, therefore the halacha is keveya that the shiur has to be X, Y, and Z. But the shiur is not an objective, an intrinsic type of a shiur. So let's say, Lamashal, you have by Tkiya Shofar, it's a little bit tricky. There's a shiur of how big the shofar has to be. The shofar has to be big enough that it has to be extend from both sides of your hand. You have a little tiny baby shofar, you stick it in your hand, we can see it, so that shofar is possible. So what's pshat in that shiur? Is that like a halacha moshe mesinai? That's shiur in beginning of Masechet Sukkah, shiur in chitzit and mechitzit, halacha moshe mesinai? Is that the pshat? Just an objective shiur, no rhyme or reason? Or is it more to it than that? So the Rosh in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says that he thinks there's a reason for that shiur. He thinks the reason for that shiur is because it's nearer to kelasach yadai. If you see a guy blowing shofar and you can't see the shofar, it looks like he's blowing to his hand, so it doesn't look right. So that's a shiur, that's a reflection of a mitzias. It happens to be that if it's big enough to protrude from your hand, then everybody realizes that you're blowing a shofar. So the Gemara says, Beferish Rosh Hashanah, it's Pashas the Rabbanon, yeah, Pashas the Rabbanon according to the Rosh. So the Gemara says, Beferish, that Ksus HaMech Teshira on a shofar also. The Gemara speaks about a shofar shal Nidacha, shal etc. You have a shofar shal of a desire. The Gemara talks about the possibility of Ksus HaMech Teshira, right? Even though, according to the Rosh, the whole shear is not really rooted in that. The shear is rooted in a physical reality. So one could have argued that Ksus HaMech Teshira makes sense when you're dealing with an objective halachic shear. If in the world of Allah it has to be size X, so then if the world of Allah declares that it's Oymid L'Sereifa, so you can't call it size X. But if you're telling me that the whole shear is just based on a metzias, everyone has to realize that you're not blowing it to your hands. So even though it's a shofar shel nidachas, l'mais I see the shofar, nobody really cares about the shir b'atzmus. So the shir is just a reflection of metzias. So if you reject that rush, if one goes a different route, and one wants to say that exists in Mechta Shira, it doesn't make sense when you have Shirim rooted in Metzias, that would be another potential application when we would or would not say Exist in Mechta Shira. There is an interesting shayla about this. It's a little bit past Chanukah, but we'll go back to Chanukah for a minute. There's a shayla in Mechta Chanukah that Poskim discuss if you can use oil which is Asa Banof in Eretz Chanukah. I mean, let's say you have oil that's Bas B'cholov, so a person fried some butter in their fleshy pot, and Yomom, make it your day, right? So you have now a butter that's mamash asa banah. So assuming that there's deraisa on nuts on tzli and tigon, we're not going to talk about that because we're not talking about that this year. So the bottom line is you have oil that's asa banah. Can you be yaita neres chanukah with that? So the shari tshuva in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah quotes a whole deal from early achareinim about that shaila. So one of the things that's thrown into this equation is maybe it's called kesuser bech teshir. What's kesuser bech teshir? Right? There's hashir that the oil has to go for a half hour. So that's not considered to be enough in oil because it's kesuser bech teshir. To which others would respond, nah, that's not a din. The reason why the oil has to go for a half hour is because you're metzias, you need a shetichel regel and a shuk, because that was the shir bizman chazal. That's how long people walked in the streets. So chazal mesaken that you need oil that's going to be visible. So that's a shir that's a reflection of a metzias. That's not a shir biatzmusai. So how do you say kesuser bech teshir in that? So according to the Rush, maybe that's true, but maybe others would disagree. So getting back to the story, so the Ran, in discussing the applicability or lack thereof of kesuser bech teshir for a get, so the Ran says, well, some yisurei no, kesuser bech teshir does apply to it, others don't. The Ran doesn't exactly explain which is which. So we threw in a few different possibilities. One may be nisrafin versus nikbarin, or one may be even within the nisrafin, the different kinds of nisrafin, or more, one may depend on whether the shir is needed by atzmus or not. So a lot of factors have to combine in order to create a din of system at the shir, right? But at the end of the day, the Ran says it doesn't make much of a difference. So the last 20 minutes was nice, but it's not relevant for Gittin, because by Gittin there's no din of a shir anyway, so we're not even bothered with system at the shir. So getting back to the Gemara Masechet Gittin, so a very, very straightforward Gemara. One line of the Gemara. I just learned through one line of the Gemara together. Gemara says, Shalach mitam kasli sirei noz kosher. If you write again in sirei noz, so two big issues you have to deal with. You have to address the issue of how could you be maknei sirei noz to somebody? What happened? So in order to understand why that is a question, so you have to understand what's wrong with being maknei sirei noz. Are you sirei noz called shalachem? They're called shalub and b'shusos. You have to go back to Balmoz and Abans, a little meruba, to a little masechet sukkah to try to figure out is that a good kasha, bad kasha. So if assuming that that's a good kasha, so then the solution of the tzais was that you don't need a haknas again, you just need an asinus again. So then we had to revamp and ask ourselves, is that really true? So we related to the Rashi and the Rishon about Kinyan Agav. We spoke a little bit about Kinyan Dal Amos and passing. So to try to appreciate where the tzais is coming from. Then the third part of the sugya was, which the Ran raised, the red flag, maybe it's Ksusim Mechtashurei, to which the Ran says, no, it happens not to be. But within that Ran, the Ran delineates certain Yisurei HaNoah. Yes, I mean certain Yisurei HaNoah. No, and we have to try to figure out which ones are subjects to Sreifa. So we have three different factors. One was Sreifa versus Kvura, one was even within Sreifa, within Zechiyah Sreifa versus a Heter Sreifa, and one was, depending on the type of Shir, some Shir Mashur Matzmusam, some Mashur Reflection of Matzias, whether an Axis of Shir should apply. But at the end of the day, we've overcome all the problems, because the Gemara says, okay, so it was one line, the Gemara says, Shalcha Mitam, he sent one message from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlar. That was it. So here I came from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael, so I told you the way around. So they sent one message from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlar, Shalcha Mitam, Kosli Surah Noz Kosher. So within that line, there's a lot of things on the footnotes in the bottom of that Shtikul Torah. So you have to understand what the issues were, should have been, shouldn't have been. But at the end of the day, Shalach Mitam, Kasalei Surah Noz Kosher.